Welcome back to another episode of Risky Business. This one is episode 3, titled College Football Week 1. Take it away, Jared.
We are pumped for college football to be officially back. We got a little appetizer last week with a couple games, but now we've got a full loaded slate. And that doesn't mean we have a lot of plays for you, but we will talk through quite a few games and give you the best bets. So this episode is being recorded on August 29th, 2024, and please remember to always gamble responsibly. First things first, got some record keeping to do. The first episode, we gave you a week 0 play, Florida State, Georgia Tech under, and that did indeed hit by about 10.5 points. It was as far as bets go, it was a relatively sweat-free bet. So, both 1-0 to start the year on plays, and football's back. We have lots of plays for you, or lots of games. Not a lot of plays, a lot of games to go through here tonight.
Yeah, so let's start off. Obviously, we are recording on Thursday. We typically like to do Wednesdays, but I did, in fact, go to the Tigers game yesterday. We're not going to talk about it, but that's why it's coming out a day late. But I did want to still mention I was playing the UNC-Minnesota game. At the time of recording, Minnesota are 2-point dogs, and they are, I'm going to play a money line plus 105. I just think they're the home team that's going to get it done. ACC Big Ten Challenge, pretty exciting for day one of week one of college football. So I had a couple other notes, but just know, I took Minnesota money line. So when they lose, you can yell at me. But
yeah, didn't that game? That game was supposed to kick off like a couple hours ago, but inclement weather has,
which I think favors my home team.
Yeah, I think that helps you if anything. So
we'll find out. But yeah, I am playing Minnesota plus 105 money line. But let's hop to the Friday games, which if you listen in time, you can play these games.
Yep, classic Michigan State playing Friday night. Their game is at 7 o'clock. Tomorrow. They got Florida Atlantic coming to town. Florida or MSU is laying 13.5 points. It's even money either way if you take either team to cover. This game to me is there's just too many. We kind of discussed this in the first episode when we were talking if we were going to play Michigan State's future with their win total. There's just too many new players for MSU. New head coach, new quarterback. Everybody and their brothers from the transfer portal or Oregon State. I think a line of 13.5 is a little disrespectful to MSU. I mean, home opener against Florida Atlantic.
They've been brutal recently, but yes, I agree. I feel like the play is MSU to cover.
If I was going to bet this game, I'd definitely take MSU to cover. If they don't, I'd be very surprised.
But like, I'm pretty sure statistically the last 2 years they haven't.
Really?
Did they cover against CMU last year?
I want to say they did, but you're right. It was close, but I don't know. I just feel like if they don't cover, that'd be pretty wild. So I'm going to definitely stay away from that game, though. We'll just watch that one. You want to talk? This is an interesting play for you here. Kind of a gross game.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to give one of each day. We're not going to play all the games we mentioned, obviously. We just want to bring forward the big games and then couple nasty plays that we found. I found Lehigh at Army. Army is the same Army you've heard of for decades. They run the ball and run the ball and run the ball. And actually, didn't we play Army and Navy in the college football game?
You did beat me with... You were Army, I think.
Yeah, man. Army might be good.
It's not good.
Hold on. Good. I might be screwing myself here. But Army's favored by 32.5 against Lehigh. Too much for armed forces. 32.5 is a lot. They're going to run the ball. I think I read something that Army's top 4 rushers are back, and Lehigh has a linebacker coming back that is going to be in all whatever conference they are in. I do not know Lehigh's conference. That's on me. But I'm taking Lehigh plus 32.5. Seems like free money to me. We'll find out at 6 o'clock Friday night.
I mean, anytime you got a service academy north of laying north of 30 points, it's worth a look.
Yeah, I just... Lehigh's a storied program, one of the oldest in the college football landscape. But that's about all I know about Lehigh and Army. I apologize now. Maybe Army will be my darlings all year after this if they... Pull it off.
Georgia Tech's your darlings, remember?
Yeah, you're right.
You did call that well.
We got some. Yeah, we can have multiple darlings, but let's hop to like the meat of college football on Saturday. I think Saturday is going to be what we always dream of coming up in August, the end of August, Labor Day. We need these kind of games. So
the meat and potatoes. Usually they make us wait a little bit though on Saturday till 3:30 or 7:30 to get the ranked v ranked matchups. But this year they're being nice to us. Right away at noon, right after game day concludes, you're gonna go right to Clemson and Georgia at a neutral site playing in Atlanta. Not really a neutral site, but it is what it is. Georgia laying 13.5 here. The over-under is set at 48.5 points. This game to me, these two teams played, I think, 2 years ago, and I believe the final was 10-3, and the only touchdown scored was a pick six. It was a very weird game back when Clemson was still Clemson.
Georgia won the Natty that year too, though.
Yeah, it was two solid teams for sure. So, with this one, they're with the line at 13.5, they're begging you to take Georgia to cover, which I do think that would be a lean for me. If I was going to play the spread, I would definitely take Georgia to cover here. I think they're just so talented. Their roster is just loaded.
Yeah, the books are kind of giving Clemson like one last chance. Like, prove us that you can stay within two touchdowns.
Yeah, it's not I don't think the talent gap is as far as you would think it is between, like, Clemson has gotten a bad rap over the last couple years, and rightfully so. They've been mediocre, but there is still talent at Clemson. There are dudes there, but Georgia's just in a league of their own, and I would assume Georgia would win by more than 14. I honestly think they probably win by 20. It might get a little ugly. You remember when Georgia played Oregon in this exact same game?
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember if that was last year or 2 years ago, or... Maybe was Georgia Clemson 3 years ago?
I thought it was two.
I don't know. But Georgia played Oregon the first game of the season in Atlanta. Same kind of vibe, you know, first game of the season. And they beat them like 40-something to 3. Mm-hmm. Like, it was a massacre. I don't think that'll happen here, but it could get a little ugly.
Yeah.
But with all that being said, I am not touching the spread on this. I think the best play on this game is a first half under. I think both teams are going to come out a little sloppy, they're going to take a quarter to knock off the rust, kind of figure it. These are two really good coaches trying to figure each other out. I think things will loosen up in the second half, and the over could hit in the second half, but I think the under, you know, we're looking at a score. If it goes 14-10 at half, you're still hitting the under. If Georgia just pops off and we go 21-3, you're still hitting the under. Getting the 24.5 is a very key number, very powerful number. So I like that first half under in this game.
Yeah, I think the biggest issue for you is, can each team not get a touchdown on their scripted first drive?
I think Georgia will. I can see Georgia getting the ball.
You just can't have both.
Going down and going up 7-0 with a really good drive. But then I can see Clemson going 3-and-out. So that's what I'm hoping for. That's my best play in that game. I think I am going to play that. I like it.
You are playing it. Okay. Yeah, I'm staying away. As a fan, I'm hoping it's close. So I'll root for you to hopefully it's under. And then in the second half, they just break out with points.
Right, get a little more exciting. I'm thinking, you know, back when they played a couple of years ago, 10-3 was the final, man. You know, what if we get that was boring to watch. Yeah, what if we get something like that again?
Maybe. Carson Beck, all I gotta say is Georgia got a point to prove, so
keep going in chronological order here.
Yeah, we'll do Penn State, West Virginia.
Yeah, hit another noon game. What's your spin on this, D?
McAfee's boys will not get it done. Like we said, this is one of the games that Penn State has to win for the shoe-in for the playoff. You're not making the playoff if you're not beating West Virginia. The line shows that Penn State's favored by 8. It's kind of the same thing. Whoever you pick to cover is -110. I would lean Penn State to cover. Like, Franklin's not awful against out-of-conference, especially early in the season, if I remember correctly.
He's got a good track record covering against non-conference opponents, home or away.
They do have a new OC from Kansas. Do you know his name?
Korolecki, I think his name is. He was the OC at Kansas last year, and Kansas had a good offense.
Yeah, they did.
Yes, I think he's going to do good things for Penn State.
Is Manny gone?
Who?
Manny Diaz?
Yes, he is gone.
Good, because he thought he was so funny with the sign stealing.
Get here early.
Should be loud. Be loud, especially on third down. Yeah, that was so dumb. Yeah, maybe they'll actually have a real defensive coordinator. I'm not going to. If there was a play, I'd say Penn State covers. I know it's like West Virginia on the road, singing country roads, yada, yada, yada. I think Penn State goes in there and kind of takes care of business.
Surprised you're not picking Pat McAfee's boys.
I love me some Pat McAfee, but I'm going to have to watch. It's kind of like week one. We tried to get some picks, but a lot of it is we got to find out what certain teams look like. And I know Penn State's returning a lot, so I just can't bring myself to help with West Virginia.
And my take on this game, I think that new OC is going to be a good addition for Penn State. I think the biggest benefactor of him is going to be Drew Aller. Setting up that play. They've got a good run game. They've got two really nice running backs that can set up the play action. And I just think they established the run on the road. I don't think the crowd's going to be a huge factor. When you run the ball, you take the energy right out of the stadium. So it would definitely be a lean to Penn State, which is gross. I'd rather take West Virginia to cover. That'd be more exciting. But I think Penn State probably covers this one, but I'm going to stay away. Next game on the docket is one that I am playing. You know, nothing screams college football is back without taking Iowa unders. Am I right?
Yeah, just the fact that we're talking about Iowa brings happiness to me because their coach got suspended
for tampering
with Michigan's quarterback.
Now, does that? So, okay, let me give the picks on this game. So, Iowa's 22.5-point favorites. The over-under is set at 40.5 right now. That line has moved, so I'll say, you know, at time of recording is 40.5, but that has shifted to 41, 41.5. Down to, I've seen it at 39.5. As long as you can get this above, at 40 or above, I would take the under. I am going to play the under. And that's what I was just going to bring up to you. I forgot Kirk Ferentz is suspended for the first game. Does that help or hurt my under?
Well, he won't be leaning over the offensive coordinator's shoulder. Who's the acting head coach?
I don't know who's going to be the acting head coach. I almost think this hurts my under. I feel like Kirk Ferentz is like a anti-points guy. I mean, we know his son was the OC last year.
Yeah, he's allergic to points. I mean, you can always pass.
Yeah.
Play Penn State instead.
I don't know. That doesn't sway me enough, but 40.5. If this gets up to 41, I would definitely hammer the under. But 40.5 is still good enough for me. Just Iowa plays at such a slow pace. What I'm seeing here is we know Cade McNamara is a solid quarterback. He's not explosive, though, and that's what you need with unders. You can live with a long, sustained drive and then a field goal at the end, bogging down at the
end zone. Is Eric all back?
I don't think so. I think he went pro. No? I don't know. I don't know if Eric all is back. It's a good question.
Because they do have chemistry.
Yeah. But new OC for Iowa, so we'll see. I feel like there's going to be some growing pains. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's not just going to walk into Iowa and have a prolific offense.
Yeah, like we said, week one is typically ugly, so.
Yeah, so if you count on Illinois State scoring 10 at the most, it's, all right, you got to ask yourself, do you think Iowa scores 30? I think no, so I'm going to take the under.
All right, let's roll to probably one of my favorite games of the weekend. We got Miami U, who's always overrated. I think I took their season under, at Florida. Florida's always, I can't even say they were overrated because recently they've been bad. I don't know how Napier is still the head coach.
I think if he loses, you could see a coach firing on Saturday.
Yeah.
If he loses this one, he might be shot out of a cannon.
So we're looking at Cam Ward, who transferred from Wazoo to Miami. I just don't trust Cristobal in the big game yet. Like we said, growing pains with the transfer coming in. It's going to be an absolute madhouse. That is such a plus for Florida. Did they split the home and home series with Utah, or did they lose them both?
I think they split it. I think Florida won when they were at home, and Utah won.
And Utah had the way better team. I think Florida still had Anthony Richardson that year, but still, Anthony Richardson wasn't that great in college.
Hey, he's your pro quarterback now.
Stop. But yeah, it's gonna be a madhouse. The swamp's always lit. I love watching Florida home games. The college football is better when Florida's better. They're not gonna be good this year, but Graham Mertz at home, he's a veteran of the game. He's been at Florida a while now. I'm taking Florida money line plus 114. Yeah. So
I like that play. I do think Florida's gonna win the game, so you might as well just take a money line and get the value. You've got it at plus odds, so Gainesville is a tough place to come in and win, much less you're a rival, in-state rival,
yep.
And you're always overrated, i.e. Miami. Yep. So I don't know. I agree with that pick. I'm not going to play that, but I think your head's in the right spot there for sure. So we're going to go from that game to another banger at 3:30. Miami, Ohio at Northwestern. Do you put this on the sheet here? I'm gonna let you take it away.
Okay, so to be completely transparent, I looked at this game a long time ago. Got my I got the under, and I clearly had the same read as America. The over under was 42.5, minus 110 to the under. That was last Saturday after week zero. It has now moved to Thursday, the 2 days before the game, to 39.5. So it's dropped 3 points, which tells me...
That's a lot of movement.
Yeah. Everybody's taking them under. Do I continue that, or do I go against the trend? Let me just give you what's going on. Mike Wright is transferred in to Northwestern. They got a decent amount returning on defense, and Bryce Kurtz and AJ Henning are their wide receivers. Kurtz might actually be NFL talent. AJ Henning, you remember him at Michigan?
I liked him at Michigan.
He was a spark.
I was disappointed when he transferred out.
So he's like a spark. Didn't he have beef, or was that Giles Jackson?
No, Giles Jackson.
So yeah. Mike Wright was actually, he's interesting because he played for Vanderbilt and Mississippi State. Nothing great, but it's kind of like Northwestern was good last year, and he was able to, they landed a decent transfer from the SEC. We'll see how it translates. Cam Porter, you remember Cam Porter, running back. He's like a bell cow.
Yep.
He's not like super shifty, but he's an all down back. He's a typical Northwestern dude, he's a knockoff.
Made in a lab for Northwestern.
Oh yeah, like a knockoff Wisconsin back is essentially.
That's a good way to put it.
But you know what's interesting? Northwestern's coming off a great season in which weren't they predicted 2 wins?
Yes.
And they, I think, who did they beat in the bowl game?
They beat Utah.
They beat the Utes in a bowl game. It was a great year.
No Cam Rising, but still, that's a way better Utah team than talent-wise.
Anyway. Yeah. So Miami, Ohio, you know, on paper you're thinking Mac at Big Ten. This is a shoe-in for Big Ten. That's not the case. Miami won the Mac last year. Matt Salopek and Ty Wise are their two stud linebackers. I've looked over the past 2 years, they both had 100-plus tackles. That's like that's a feat in college football. So they're going to be, you know, bruising up Porter in the interior. They're looking to go back-to-back MAC champions this year. With it moving 3 points, hold on. Did Rutgers just cover?
Rutgers,
we're watching so full transparency, we are watching the games live on Thursday night right now. And hit us. Let me give my play, and then we'll give Jared his Rutgers moment.
Yeah.
So rather than taking 39.5, I'm staying away from that, Jared. I am changing my play. I am now taking Northwestern -3.
The line's only -3.
I'm taking them to cover.
Holy cow. The disrespect for North 8-win Northwestern is real.
That's what I'm saying. Miami, Ohio won the MAC. I looked it close, but yeah. So,
is Northwestern playing at that weird stadium that they built?
Oh, that's a good question.
Their
interim stadium?
Lake Michigan or something.
Yeah, I'll have to look into that. But you go ahead and give the people your Rutgers play.
So
what was the line?
The line for Rutgers-Howard was 36.5. And I was eyeing that the last couple days preparing for this episode. I just didn't think Rutgers had it in them to score enough points. I didn't even know if Rutgers would score 36 points just straight up on themselves. So I was debating playing it, but it's a Thursday game, and it was already going to be over by the time we were recording, so I didn't want to touch it. And we were watching, and this game was 17-7 at half. Rutgers, so only 10 points up in a 36.5 point spread, and they quite literally just scored a touchdown as time expired to win 44-7 and cover. So if you had the Howard cover, you just lost your bet on a very bad beat.
How did they score the touchdown?
I don't know. 2 seconds ago, Howard had the ball.
Yeah, the clock was running out.
I don't even know how Rutgers got the ball back. So long story short, I'm so glad I didn't play this game, because I would be throwing my computer right now.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Oh, what? Did they just make them?
Did they go for it?
Oh, my. They. What? What happened?
They went for it.
Yeah, but did they pick it? How did they get the ball so close?
I have no clue.
So with 15 seconds left, Rutgers, they knew the line.
100%.
With 15 seconds left in the game over, rather than kneeling, Greg Schiano went for a touchdown.
Greg Schiano 100% had his team covering.
That's anyway, insane.
I'm very glad I didn't take that game, because that would have been the first bad. There's going to be bad beats throughout the year, but you don't want to be having it on, like, week one of college football. So
my mind is boggled. Okay, so you got my play with Northwestern. I'm going to take a -3.
Okay.
Sorry, Miami, Ohio. The Big Ten's too strong. It was a run play with 15 seconds left. The last play of the game. Oh, no.
Then he gets out of bounds.
Inside the 10.
And then they just run it up the middle, and I think they score.
Oh, my word. That's so toxic. Low-key. Somebody had them covering.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so let's jump to the 7:30 time slot, Saturday Night Football. College game day is in College Station. Notre Dame at Texas A&M. Texas A&M is favored by 3 points here at home. So they're telling you if it was a neutral site game, it would be a pick 'em. My cap on this game is... it burns me to do this, but I trust Notre Dame a lot more in this game. I think Notre Dame, on a neutral field, Notre Dame is a better team than Texas A&M. So if you're going to give me the better team and 3 points to play with and the better quarterback, I'm taking Notre Dame. That's my analysis. So Notre Dame has Riley Leonard stepping in for quarterback this year, the transfer from Duke. Had a real nice year at Duke last year. I've watched him play a couple times. He's pretty good. He's in control of the game.
But don't tell him that.
No. What was the thing last year that he writes on
his mom writes, "You suck," and he wears the bracelets.
Right, yeah.
To remind him that he's not that.
To keep himself humble.
Yeah, okay. It's the dumbest
thing. Your mom's keeping you humble. Okay.
Yeah, I'm upset about that.
All right, you're making me change my mind here, but.
Well, good, because who's the head coach of Texas A&M at the hardest place to play in the EA college football game?
Yeah, so give me the path to Texas A&M covering.
So, one, the coach, Mike Elko, was his coach at Duke. Number two, according to the EA Sports video game, man, Minnesota sucks. Sorry about it, folks. According to the video game, Kyle Field is the hardest place to play at. They're going to be rocking. They typically have their skit night before. They're going to be making fun of Riley Leonard, talking about how he sucks. You know how the student body gets together and they do their skits?
Mm-hmm.
They always, yeah. I'm telling you, Texas A&M, Notre Dame's the king of not being clutch. I don't think Marcus Freeman's a good coach. Sorry about it. A&M's going to sneak this one out, but I ain't playing it. But yeah, that's your path. That's
fine. I think Marcus Freeman is going to be a good coach, and I just think... I think there's a quarterback edge with Notre Dame. I think there's a coaching edge with Notre Dame, too. Marcus Freeman's been there. He's established a little bit more so than Mike Elko, who's just coming in, you know, 6 months ago, trying to write as many checks as he can and sign as many big-time players with NIL money at Texas A&M.
Hmm.
So, I don't know. I feel like Notre Dame, I would lean Notre Dame with the plus three there to play with, but... it's definitely a pass from me. That's just going to be a fun game to watch on Saturday night.
Yeah, that is Saturday Night Football, right? That's where game day is, all that, yeah.
Yep. Johnny Manziel, guest picker.
Cool. All right, next game, obviously, 7:30, close to our hearts. We're taking the Michigan Wolverines against Fresno State. Actually, we're not taking them. The fan in me tells me they're going to cover. But just too many variables. I don't know how Sharon coaches against bad teams because he's only shown up against good teams and beat them. So don't know what to say there. But
maybe he'll just clobber bad teams. Who knows?
Fresno State's not a bad team, though. We need to take that into
account. That is very true. This is not a team you want to mess around with. It's actually a sneaky tough game in the opener, especially with the national championship hangover. Like, oh. I would say there'd be a hangover, but literally everyone is gone from the national championship team, so there's nothing to hang over on. But if you get off to a slow start, this Fresno team could be a little dangerous.
Yeah, I would lean Michigan to cover by three touchdowns. It's sitting right at three touchdowns. Michigan's going to have a good defense again. It's going to be hard for Fresno to score, especially with the big dogs up front, but... I think, if anything, we're not going to play Michigan every week. Obviously, we'll talk about them, but I think, if anything, Michigan's going to win. They're going to win big. It's just a matter of how big and how conservative does Sharon go with starters going into, like, does he want whoever's the starter quarterback? Well, I think we're leaning Orgy.
Yeah, it sounds like Orgy, but it still hasn't officially been announced.
Like, does he want him to play, you know, most of the game and get used to it against a great Texas team coming in? Or does he want him to be healthy? Like, who knows? So, I lean Michigan to cover, but I'm going to... I mean, you get a chance for a top 10 team hosting the... And I understand Florida State just lost, yada, yada. That's kind of why we're staying away. We don't think Michigan's going to lose, but we also just don't want to... play it till we see it.
Yeah, I think
it's hard to, like, you get that overlook thinking about Texas next week. Like, everybody wants to talk about it, but
right. Another interesting angle on this game is the total is set at 46 even. I just find that to be a really, really odd number. If I was to set the total for this game, I would probably put it like 51. That's probably why I'm not a bookmaker, odds maker. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I just feel like there's gonna be more than 46 points scored. But when you see a weird thing like this, most of the time, the play is to lean into the weirdness.
Yeah.
And bet the thing that doesn't make sense. Because usually there's something sneaky behind it. So an under here, an under 46 play might be the move, but again, I'm not touching this one. Still a lot of unknowns with Michigan. Got to see how that offense looks. We know how that defense is going to look, but offense needs to show me something. So we'll pass on that.
Do you want to cover this next one or me?
I got it. So this is Sunday night, 7:30. LSU and USC are getting together, and probably the most just pure fun game to watch of the weekend. It's at a neutral site, Las Vegas. LSU is favored by 4. I think that line's probably pretty accurate. I think it could honestly be LSU minus 6, but they're giving some respect to USC. The over-under, though, is what we're going to look at here. So I am going to be playing the over at 64 points. So probably saying, well, Jared, both of these teams lost their Heisman-level elite number one overall pick quarterbacks in the draft. And I would say you're right, but neither of these teams play defense. These two defenses last year were on par with, like, Colorado. Just, it was instant points. No one could stop anyone. So now you put them on the same field. I mean, I think we could go play quarterback for these teams and probably put up a decent amount of points.
Strictly because of the defense.
Yeah, I mean, it's just porous. So you got Garrett Nussmeier stepping in for LSU. A lot of people are kind of high on him. They say he's got some game. So we'll see what he's made of on Sunday. Miller Moss, we have seen him before. He played in that bowl game against Louisville. And that was a depleted Louisville team, but he threw for a ton of yards and like 6 touchdowns. Looked really good. Like, close your eyes, it's Caleb Williams, you know, copy-paste. So, I don't know. I don't think there's going to be as big of a drop-off as people would think there would be in the two quarterbacks playing in this game. And Lincoln Riley's still the head coach of USC. He's an offensive mastermind. Don't ask him about defense, but offense he cooks. Here's a fun stat for you. Ready for this? What do you think USC games averaged point-wise last year?
I already saw it, but my mind was boggled.
Like, you already saw it? Dang it.
I raised my eyebrows. Like, 76 is insane.
Yeah.
For an average. That means, holy smokes.
Holy over. So what I'm doing with Iowa and the under, hit me with the USC's over. Yeah, they averaged 76 combined points in their games last year. So, I don't know. They're playing in Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. It's a dome. It's going to be nice weather, obviously. It's a fast track. I just see these teams going up and down the field and scoring buku points. And points are fun, so I'm going to root for it.
Points are fun.
Are you playing this one?
Nope, I'm not playing it. LSU has played on Sunday night like the last 3 years. They played 2 against Florida State. First year, Brian Kelly wanted to execute his players. Second year, Florida State was one of the best 4 teams in the country. But, yeah, I don't – the two new quarterbacks hurts me a little, but I'm not going to dissuade you from over because, like you said, points are fun. So, let's root for points.
Yeah, I just think –
it's the only game on Sunday. Everybody's going to be hyped. They're going to be wanting to put on a show.
Right. I honestly think this line could be like, they could throw this at like 68.5, and I'd probably still play it. So I think you're getting pretty good value there if you're taking the over. Hopefully it hits. Alrighty. Last game on the sheet here. Monday Night Football. Just not in the way you're thinking. Monday at 7:30, we got Boston College at Florida State. Florida State laying 16.5 points. What are we doing with this?
You know, I'm not sure. Florida State, like, obviously we already mentioned in the beginning, we predicted that it would be the under. I even, you know, flirted with covering for a while, and you you were like, it sounds like you should take cover. And I should have. You are correct. Let's see. 16.5-point favorites, over under 50. Boston College money line's plus 500. That's no fun.
I don't like the total in this game. I think 50 is really spot on. I don't think there's a read there.
Yeah.
I'm certainly not going over after what I saw with DJU last week.
I think if anything, it'd be the under. But this is not a game that I want to take the under on again.
So it feels like this line was a lot higher. Like, Florida State was favored in the 20s until last week. And after all of America watched them get de-pantsed by Georgia Tech, a lot of people have been betting Boston College to cover. That's why you see that line down to 16.5. It's went past that key number of 17.
That field goal.
I'm not touching Boston College. I would need at least 17.5 points here before I touch Boston College. Because I feel like it's the books saying, here, I gotcha. You know, look at this great deal I can give you on, you know, Florida State. I'm gonna stay away from this. I think it's a trap. If I'm gonna play it, it would be Boston College to cover, but I'm not gonna touch it unless it gets back up to like 17.5, which it's probably not going to.
Yeah. I don't know. The other thing was Georgia Tech had all week to or all the time to prepare. Their coach has been there some time. I just don't know enough about Boston College. So let's review our plays for the week. I know it's a little shorter episode, but not all of them are going to be super long. Just the futures took a while.
So I've got three plays for this week. Clemson and Georgia in the noon time slot. We're going to take a first half under 24.5 at minus 118. Then also at noon, we're going to take an Illinois State at Iowa under of 40.5, and that's at minus 110. So the noon slot is going to be big for me. And then we skip all the way over to Sunday night, LSU and USC. I'm taking an over of 64 at minus 112. So all over under plays this week for me.
All minus odds, though. They should happen. Doesn't mean they will, but they should. Like I said, I'm taking Minnesota money line tonight. It's not looking great, but we're here for it. I love college football. It's so back. Watching Minnesota's quarterback get sacked as we talk about it. Lehigh plus 32.5 against the Army dudes. I was going to say Black Knights, but I think they changed their mascot, did they?
I don't know. I think they're still the Black Knights.
Either way, I love playing them in the old college games. Anyway, Florida money line. It's a madhouse. It's kind of like last chance U for Billy Napier. See what I did there? I feel like Florida has to win this game, right?
I mean, if they don't, the season's already over.
So I'm taking Florida money line. It's going to be wild. And then Northwestern, so I'll have two games on during the 3:30 slot. Actually, realistically, four. But Northwestern to cover minus 3. The odds are minus 112 for that against Miami, Ohio. I'm sorry, Miami, Ohio. I did research on you. You guys did great in the MAC. Good luck this year, but Northwestern's beating you. I disrespected Northwestern last year by taking the under of like 3 wins, so I have to ride with them first game.
Let's hope they don't burn you. But yeah, it should be a great weekend of college football. Obviously, a lot of the high-profile games are not where the value lies. A lot of times in college football when you're betting it, it's the gross games between two unknown schools that provide the most value. So keep that in mind when you're betting this weekend, and may the odds ever be in your favor.
Alrighty, have a good weekend of football. And next week we will be diving right into the NFL. NFL is the hardest one to bet, fair warning, but we'll be diving into the NFL and then obviously more college football as we get into week 2. That'll be Michigan, Texas week, so we are hyped. But have a good week, and we'll see you in the next one.